Everybody, I'm Bailey.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lacey.
And we're sarcastic, so let's get sinister.
Do you have a Halloween cup?
I do. It has cats. I got it in Charleston.
Lovely.
Cats with costumes.
It glows in the dark.
Oh.
Anyway, stay. How's everyone doing?
I am so tired.
I'm good.
One of my patients, we had a kitten that was in our hospital for pneumonia. He was there for about 11 days. Went home. Returned, and he is doing well, so he will be euthanized soon.
Way to bring the mood down.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I love you, George. Anyway.
His name was George.
His name was George, and he had a sister named Jenny.
Oh.
Yeah.
Lacey knows them.
George and Jenny.
Yeah, I mean, the moon's gonna stay down because I don't really see opportunities for, sarcastic comments through this episode, but give it a shot. Make it tasteful, though.
That's good, because next week is same boat.
Great.
Very little room for sarcasm for next week.
Lacey, what about your next episode?
Who's to say?
Okay, I will say my next one will be able to hit our quota and beyond for sarcasm. Yeah. So
I had this pair of serial killers I recently learned about in mind for my next one, but if that ends up being a bummer, I might switch it up if we're going to have two bummer weeks in front of it. We'll see.
All right. So today I'm going to talk about the Humboldt Five, which is a group of five young women who went missing and whose stories seem similar and possibly related. Humboldt County, or Drew, do you have the PowerPoint? Okay, go to slide two. Humboldt County is in Northern California. It is one of the three counties that make up the Emerald Triangle. It's that green region right there. That's the Emerald Triangle. They like don't know all. What shapes are in California. I don't know.
It looks like a man standing there reading a book.
That's actually a really good description.
I thought it looked like a man standing there pointing a pistol upwards like this.
Oh.
Mine was a little bit more.
It's like the ink block test.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Being too much
violence. Do either of you know what the Emerald Triangle is?
No.
It's a man holding a book. Falsely named a triangle.
That, and it's also the largest producer of marijuana in the country. It's also a place
called Emerald,
I guess. I think it's because of all the there's a lot of like trees and wilderness up there too. So
and grass.
Yeah. It's also the place where people go off the grid and an area that is easy to make somebody disappear.
Good to know.
Also meth and heroin are produced up there too.
So every drug.
Yeah, pretty much. It is one of the... So Humboldt County, specifically, is one of the most dangerous counties in the country. It's the second highest homicide rate in the state. And missing persons rate is doubled in that county versus the state's average. I think I messed up that sentence. But, you know, we're going to travel. We're going to go through it. So back in the 1960s... there was a back-to-land movement that had an influx of people leaving the cities, like San Fran and L.A., and wanting to go to the wilderness for cheap land and self-sustaining farms. The microclimate of the Emerald Triangle was really ideal for marijuana, and it's still ideal for marijuana, so that's what they chose to grow. 10 years after that, during the war on drugs in the 70s, growers began getting really paranoid and would fight over territory and, like, turn on one another. So it turned into this, like, beautiful movement of going back to nature and farming to, I'm gonna seize your land and gun you
Like
down.
the turf wars.
Yeah. It reminds me, when I was researching it, of Without a Paddle, like those two guys that are like hunting through the like marijuana fields to get the guys.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that.
Haven't seen that movie in a decade. And I don't think that that's an exaggeration.
We should watch it again. That's pretty funny.
When I have time.
Anyway, can you go to the next slide, please?
Sure.
Thank you. Oh, there it is. Okay. So this is all in Humboldt County. This is the five women that we're going to be talking about today. The first woman is Jennifer Wilmer, who is up top in the red up there. She's the red dot where she went missing. She was born April 13th, 1972. She was described as spunky, restless, and had an adventurous spirit. She was a very good student and graduated from St. Mary's High School in Manhasset in Long Island. She received a full academic scholarship to St. John's University in New York. She didn't really do well the first semester and dropped out.
Because she was
She,
too spunky. She was too spunky.
yeah. She was a Deadhead, shout out mom, and started following the Grateful Dead around the country and attending their concerts. At 21 in 1992, she moved to Arcana, is I think how you say it, California. Arcana was described as a mecca for the counterculture movement. Now, even though she was across the country, she still very was very close to her parents and called her mother every few days. She tried to register for the College of the Redwoods and was unable to join classes since the semester had started. So she started working as a waitress for a while, but something happened and she was laid off, and then she went on unemployment. While she was in California, she fully embraced the counterculture movement and traded her brown locks for dreads that she often like wore in some kind of bun on top of her head. Can you hear Pat making his chair squeak?
No, I don't hear it very well.
Okay, great. During the time, she was living with her boyfriend and friends in a shared apartment in Trinity County, which is one of the other counties in the Emerald Triangle. On welfare and looking to support herself, she took her friend's advice to find work at a local farm. Her friend had told her to show up Monday and she'd get hired. Hold on a second, Pat's moving. Drew, you could go to the next slide if you want. So, Monday, September 13th, 1993, around 7:30 a.m., she set out to hitchhike Route 299 to the farm. At the apartment, she left a note saying, "Bye, everyone. Went to my first day at the farm. Wish me luck. Good luck to you, Mingo, and see you in a few months. If somebody could give food to the kitten as needed, I appreciate it. Hopefully, I'll see you folks later. Heart Jade." She went by Jade as a nickname. Next slide, please. This was her. And then
Does
the
she have
next.
kids?
No, I didn't see anywhere of a child. That's the note that she left. 2 days later, her friends stopped by the farm for a visit. They learned that she never made it, and the local police were called. Her boyfriend then called her mom and informed her. The police were slow and res to respond as she was labeled a free spirit, so they thought that she just took off.
Come back.
Yeah. The Wilmers learned that Jennifer's name was never entered into the National Missing Persons Database, so they hired their own private detective to do it, and fly they flew out to Cal they flew out to California to investigate themselves. The PI discovered that a local named Cowboy Fred had been obsessed with her and was following her around, but I
Sorry.
couldn't find anything more than him. Yeah, Cowboy Fred.
Okay, so his name was Cowboy Fred,
Yeah.
or that's what he was known as.
Yeah.
Okay.
Her parents also discovered that None of her roommates were ever interviewed when the initial missing persons was reported.
It seems like the police really just did not care.
Yeah. In March 2020, Jennifer's mom helped push through Jennifer's Law, which required states to report information concerning unidentified bodies into the National Crime Information Center database, making it easier to cross-reference of missing persons and unidentified victims in the United States. In 2002, Jennifer was officially declared dead. Jennifer was 100 pounds, 5'2", with brown hair and blue eyes. Her hair was last known to be in dreadlocks. She was last seen in blue jeans and a black t-shirt. She had a faint scar on her left eyebrow, and her ears were pierced. Her case is still open, and foul play is suspected. Some like theories were like if maybe she accidentally stumbled on a growing operation that had armed workers, and they surprised or was threatened by her, and they thought that she was snooping or something, or she just simply was abducted. So that
Well,
is our first disappearance.
it's comforting to know that the police took care of it and did all that
Yes.
they could.
Yes. Our next disappearance, is Karen Mitchell, right there. She was born November 30th, 1980. She was a very kind young woman who cares strongly for in the environment. Friends described her as fun and always making people laugh. Shortly after her she was born, her parents divorced, and her brother and her mom lived in Whittier, California. At 13, her mom and Karen agreed that it'd be best if she lived with her aunt and uncle, Bill and Annie. Mary, Karen's mom, was single and spent a lot of time at work and was worried that Karen wasn't being supervised enough. Even though Karen went to live with her aunt and uncle, she still maintained like a good relationship with her mom and brother and like saw them for vacations and like summer breaks. Karen was very motivated and ambitious. At the age of 16, she was determined to graduate high school a year early so that she could begin studying environmental sciences in college. She was in the midst of applying for various colleges at the time of her disappearance. Her aunt Annie said that she was her own person, very vivacious, very strong, and very smart. She was an A student. She was opinionated, but had an agenda, and she wanted to help change the world. In November 25th, 1997, she had been applying for colleges and spent the morning on the phone with her mom. Karen then helped out Annie at Annie's her aunt, at her shoe store, Annie's Shoes, at the Bayshore Mall. At 2:45, she left the mall to go to her job at the daycare, which is a mile away. Annie, her aunt, had offered to drive her, but Karen wished to walk because it was such a nice day outside. Later that evening, Annie went to the Coastal Family Development Center to pick Karen up after her shift, but the lights were out, and the staff that still were there had told her that Karen never showed up. And she was 16 at this time. I don't know if I've said that. The Eureka PD immediately began investigating. They set up a command center and even received a tip from a former cop. He said he had to slam on his brakes to avoid hitting a car, which he then witnessed a girl who resembled Karen getting into a vehicle that was light blue, in a 1977 Ford Granada or a Mercury Monarch or a Nissan. If you go to the next slide, you'll see what the car looked like. He also was able to give a description of the man. He said he described him at like 60 or 70s or 70s. I'm getting lost in that word. He described him as a 60 or 70-year-old man with balding light gray hair or sandy blonde hair with and gray or green eyes. He was small in build, had a large nose and wore eyeglasses and a long sleeve blue button up. The police began tracking down over 1,200 vehicles that matched the description, but found nothing. In 1999, investigators interviewed Wayne Adam Ford after he walked into a sheriff's office and confessed to killing a woman. Ford was a truck driver and had ultimately confessed to killing four hitchhikers. He kept one of his victims' severed breasts in a Ziploc bag with him in his truck.
Ew.
He's a fun one. He claimed to have started killing in 1997, but was ultimately they ultimately couldn't link him to Karen's case. In
I thought you were
2000
gonna say to any cases, and I was like, feels like he had a pretty good piece of evidence with
It
him.
was a chicken breast. No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
The longest in 2004, the longest land or the
The
largest
longest man.
no.
Land search since Karen's disappearance was conducted. They traversed the area with cadaver dogs and conducted many new interviews, but no new leads emerged. A possible person of interest was identified as Robert Durst. Click once.
He
Leave it there
looks
for now.
creepy.
Yeah, leave it
Oh.
there for now. He
What is
visited the
this?
shoe store several
Oh.
times in
Look at
March
the stitch.
1998
Sorry.
after the disappearance. He does resemble the sketch if you want to hit the button again, Drew. Hit it for me one more time.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like a lot of times the sketches look nothing like anybody. This feels pretty good.
It does
That's a
feel pretty good.
caricature.
Yeah. Robert was suspected in the death of his first wife, Kathleen, too. She disappeared in 1982 in New York. Her case remains unsolved, and Robert is
Ooh.
considered the prime suspect still, even though he's never been charged.
Is he still alive?
Not anymore. But
Ooh.
in 2001, he was charged with the homicide of Morris Black. He claims that he murdered Black in self-defense and was acquitted in 2003. Then, in 2015, he was charged with the murder of the 2000 shooting to death of Susan Berman, and he went to prison for that and then passed away in January 2022.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I feel like he did it. His wife's murder.
Oh,
The odds are
100%.
good.
Karen's case is still open, and if anyone knows anything or can think of anything to help, please contact the Eureka Police Department.
Eureka.
Karen was 5'5", 130 pounds. She was last seen in a long-sleeved tan shirt, baggy dark brown corduroy pants, a tan leather buckle shoes, small hoop earrings, three silver rings, and a silver necklace with a crystal. Next, we have Christine Walters, which is actually the reason I found this case, because I found a TikTok about Christine Walters' disappearance and then stumbled on the whole grouping. So Christine was born August 8th, 1985. She was described as a good student with a good head on her shoulders. She made friends easily and exuded an energy that drew people to her. She taught yoga and Pilates and was studying biology, and I think I forgot to write it down. It's another ology, but it starts with an E.
Ecology? Maybe.
No. Maybe, I don't know. I really don't remember. She was studying at the University of Wisconsin. In the summer of 2008, she was 23 and finished her junior year in school. She went to Portland, Oregon to visit some friends. She only planned to stay for 3 weeks, but she soon fell in love with the area's natural beauty and told her parents that she wanted to stay on the West Coast a little while longer and delayed going back to school. While out there, she joined the Green Life Evolutions group, which is known as a spiritual group, but has also been described as a potential cult. In September of 2008, she moved to Humboldt County. She began to ask her family for money, but also began to contact them less and less.
Sounds like a cult.
One of her last phone calls with her mom was very concerning. Her mom urged her to return home, but Christine said she was not ready to leave just yet. November 7th, 2008, Christine participated in a cleansing ceremony that was believed to include a tea made with an illegal substance called ayahuasca,
Ooh.
which is a hallucinogenic brew produced from a South American vine. People who consume ayahuasca report having a spiritual awakening, saying they have mystical experiences and spiritual revelations. It can cause hallucinations that can last up to 10 hours and is stronger than LSD.
There's a Law and Order episode that's similar to that.
Negative effect side effects are vomiting, diarrhea, nausea, tremors, and other related issues. Some claim it can be therapeutic, but it is known to cause adverse reactions, episodes of depression, and mania in people predisposed to mental illnesses. So, like, can get pretty scary if you're not of the right mindset or mind. The ceremony was in Arcana, and she stayed for several days afterward with others. So the ceremony was on the 7th of November. On the 11th of November, just 4 days later, a couple found Christine naked and disoriented on their step of their rural Arcana home, 20 miles away from where the tea ceremony took place. Christine was naked, cold, hungry, thirsty, with extensive scratches and bruises all over her body. She is covered in blood, and her feet were nearly raw from running in the woods. They called the police, and she was taken to the ER. At the hospital, they were only really able to, like, test for drugs and alcohol, which she came up for negative. She refused to have anyone, like, really examine her or get too close to her. She also refused a rape kit and answered no questions about what happened. The only thing she did say was that she saw demons in the woods and had been through hell and back. She knew someone was out to get her and they would find her wherever she went. She couldn't say much because the demons could hear what she was saying.
Not
She left
disturbing at
the
all.
hospital at AMA. Her mom then booked her a room at a hotel and told her to stay put until she could figure out how to get her home to Wisconsin. At the hotel that night, Christine called her mom multiple times and was super paranoid and frantic. She insisted that someone was coming to get her and would find her no matter where she was. November 14th, she was last seen.
Sorry, I just feel like maybe you should explain what AMA means to people who are not in the
Oh,
medical field.
sorry, against medical advice. So,
Not discharged by a doctor, she
yeah,
just walked out of the hospital.
the doctors and nurses were like, no, you should stay. And she's like, no. And they can't keep you there. So, a few days later, she was last seen in a hospital-issued pajamas still at a local copier store to get copies of her identification since she had lost her IDs during the trip. Her mom had faxed over, like, I guess her birth certificate and, like, social security card and everything in order to get her a new ID to come home. The employee said that she looked really nervous and paranoid and even tried to hide the paperwork from them. She asked for the directions to the DMV and left.
We just took a little break, and while you were gone, Bailey, Lacey and I were talking about how she looks very Irish.
Not me,
And I.
Christine.
What?
Yeah,
Oh, yeah.
she
We
yeah.
decided because she's got red hair and she seems to be wearing a lot of green.
She has green eyes too, so
I
that's
think
probably why
she
she wears a lot of
recognized
green.
that green was a really good color for her.
Well, I mean, like, it's a good contrast color for red,
Yeah.
so.
Her earring in that one picture looks like a cinnamon roll.
Oh.
Ooh. Frozen
So, where did I leave us? That she was at the copy place, she asked for the DMV,
Yeah, she
and then
left.
she left. That was the last time she was ever seen.
Oh, Christine.
A few days later, she was officially reported missing.
I wonder why she was making copies. Like, what was so?
I
Did she
think
was she just trying to get out of town?
so. It seems like to me she wasn't there for the copy part of the store. She was there in order to get faxes from her mom.
Oh, I didn't know the
Yeah.
fax came in and then okay.
And then I assume that she was going to go to the DMV with like all of that information and then get a new ID. And from like what I was reading, it seemed like her mom and like her wanted to get her out of there, like back home, but
Yeah, it seems like California wasn't doing well for her.
no. So while looking for her, they found her backpack, money, and ID at the spiritual center in Arcana, which isn't abnormal for her. She was known to leave her belongings there pretty often while she would go for a walk in the community forest. Multiple searches were conducted, all finding nothing. And she is still missing to this day. Christine was 5'1". She weighed a little over 100 pounds. She had red hair and green eyes and two tattoos. One tattoo was a green and purple iris on the nape of her neck, and the other was a small butterfly on her front hip. Her left nostril was pierced, and she had double pierced ears. Heidi Peterson, her cousin, said she loved her family so much. Her not calling or just disappearing, that's not like her. She was a small town girl who maybe just met the wrong person, someone very, very evil. Her mom said, "I believe she was too trusting of people she met in California. She didn't know the people, she didn't understand the culture out there. And I know there are a lot of young adults who go there and don't want to be found. I honestly believe that it is not the case for her. If she said that now, it would be a to she would be totally brainwashed."
Did Pat sneeze?
No, he's not in the room.
No. Lacey, did somebody in your house sneeze?
No, and I didn't hear a sneeze. Is it Papa Grandma?
Did someone in your house sneeze? Could you imagine if her
Bless
camera
you.
just went black?
Oh my God, don't do that. Say bless you, just to be safe. Bless you, Papa Grandma.
What if they said thank you back, Lacey?
Well, then you would know that they appreciate the kindness. That'd be horrifying.
I'm not
Anyway,
saying bless
next
you.
slide, Drew.
It didn't sound like she covered her mouth, which is not okay in this environment.
Okay. Next, we will be talking about Sheila Franks. Next slide. There she is. Sheila was born July 19th, 1976. She was a divorced mother of two living in Rio Del, California, staying close to her two young sons. She was a 37-year-old living with her boyfriend, James Jones. February 2nd, 2004, she had texted her youngest son, something she had often done. And then, according to Jones, she went for a walk and never came back. Sheila and Jimmy, James, whatever, their relationship was not great. He was a bit of a dick. Her sister said that she saw signs of trouble and that she was being beaten by Jones. Sheila would ha get bruises and black eyes during their fights. Jimmy was a sawmill worker, has arrests for drugs and domestic violence, and has been named as a person of interest in Sheila and another woman's disappearance. Sheila was reported missing March 3rd and was last seen in Eureka, California. Her belongings were found in a storage unit, and belongings included her purse, credit cards, and IDs. Sheila was 5'6", 130 pounds, and had blonde hair and blue eyes. June 10th, 2019, a femur bone was found near the mouth of Eel River. No other remains were located. The bone was examined by anthropologists and then sent to the Department of Justice's Bureau of Forensic Sciences lab in Richmond, California, for DNA. Try saying that sentence 5 6 times fast, Jesus Christ. Later in September of that year, it was confirmed that the femur belonged to Sheila Franks. We're going to go on to our next lovely lady, which Drew will hit when she gets back. We're going to talk about Danielle Bertolini. Danielle grew up in Newport, Maine. She grew up loving to hunt, fish, and everything outdoors. When she was 20, she was pregnant with a boy, and she named him Xavier David. Xavier, Drew, do you need me to back up or anything? Okay. Xavier was found to have Edwards syndrome. He had an extra Y chromosome, and she was told that he had two tumors on his brain and one on his kidney, and he probably wouldn't even take his first breath when he was born if he had reached full term. Edwards syndrome is a chromosomal condition associated with abnormalities in many parts of the body, often have a slow growth before birth. Most children with the condition don't live beyond the first 2 weeks of life, and fewer than 10% will live beyond the first year. So for Danielle, it was recommended that she get a late stage abortion due to the level of danger of the pregnancy and the risk for her own life. She either declined or was unable to have the procedure before she went into labor. She ended up losing the baby that very day and almost her own life. 2 months later, she left behind her life in Maine and went to find a fresh start in California. She moved to Humboldt County, home of some of the tallest trees in the world, the Great Red Oaks. And she moved specifically to Adler Point, which is a small town in the county, which is flanked by a famous peak dubbed Murder Mountain.
Cute.
Do you want to know why it's called Murder Mountain? Tell
Lots
us.
of crows.
What'd you say?
There's a lot of crows there.
Oh, no. It got its nickname after the serial killer couple, Michael Bear Carson and Susan Carson, hid there after murdering 26-year-old Clark Stevens in 1982.
Ooh.
And then the name stuck due to the amount of disappearances and people found murdered in the county.
Murder Mountain.
So Danielle moved there. She found work on Murder Mountain amidst the growers as a pot trimmer. And with her grief and all of everything that was happening, she fell dependent on drugs to cope with her trauma.
That's understandable.
Yes.
Billy Joel, her mom, said, "The last time I talked to her, she called to let me know that she was ready to leave. She wanted to tell the stories of things she had seen, and she wanted to go to law enforcement, but she never made it that far." And that was January 29th, 2014. 23-year-old
She wanted to
Danielle.
tell, sorry, she wanted to tell the stories of what she'd seen. I don't think you should say that out loud.
23-year-old Danielle was disappeared on February 9th, 2014, just days after Sheila disappeared. Because Sheila was February 2nd, 2014.
Sorry, which one was Sheila?
Sheila was the one
Oh,
that
okay.
I just spoke about, the divorced mom of two with Jim Jones, or
Yeah, she was killed by him.
James Jones. Danielle was seen in Bridgeville near the Swans Flat area of Highway 36. She was getting into a car of an unknown male who was giving her a ride back to her house, and she was staying in Futuna. On February 19th, Billy Joel, Danielle's mom, filed for a missing persons report. Initially, she was considered a voluntarily missing because of her age and the fact that the area attracts a lot of young free spirits, which I don't know why still in 2014 we're still acting like that. March of next year, an ATV rider spotted a human skull while cutting a new path along the Eel River. Eel River is a 196-mile river known for fishing, and that flows from north California, and empties to the Pacific Ocean. Pacific. Did I say specific? Specifically, it's the Pacific Ocean.
There you go.
Thank you.
I just want to say real quick, Bill, I appreciate that you keep saying Billy Joel and then the caveat, Danielle's mother.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would have thought it was the singer.
It's Billy Joe.
Well, sounds very
I
similar to
also
Billy
heard Billy
Joel.
Joel.
Okay. Her mom, Billy Joe,
Thank you.
could tell immediately that the skull pictured that they showed her was Danielle, her daughter. Hold on. Danielle's mouth was too small for all the teeth she had had, and she had two sets of, I saw an article that said it was einteenth or canines. And they had to pull out a set of the canines before they could put her braces on. So her mom swears she could identify the skull that way. The coroner's office did confirm this identification. Her disappearance is believed to be homicide. Which, oh.
Was saying it.
Charlie agrees.
Who was the man driving the car she got into? Anyone want to guess?
Was it that guy?
Billy Joel.
No.
Billy Joe is her mom.
This guy.
No.
Oh. No.
Go
Jimmy
to the next
Jones.
slide.
Was it Sheila's boyfriend?
Yes.
Yeah? Oh.
Jim Jones, who looks horrifying.
He looks like he killed his girlfriend and then a couple days later was like, I'd like that, I'll do it again.
Danielle was staying at a home of a man named Bob, which Bob is not his real name, but that's the name he's going by. Bob was supposed to pick her up from Swan's Flat area, but he was too far and sent his buddy Jim Jones that day, who claimed that he just dropped her off at home.
Who was the leader of Jonestown?
I don't know.
I don't think it was this specific man.
Was his name Jim Jones, though?
I feel like it was.
Well, I mean, his official name is James Eugene Jones. Which, Eugene? Pff.
Was Jim Jones. But that
It?
happened on 1978. So.
Oh.
Oh, well, this Jim Jones is only five. Well.
He's killing in 2014.
Yeah.
I was just, we talked
No,
about a
that's fair.
cult briefly,
That's
and
fair.
now we're talking about Jim Jones.
That's fair. A lot of stuff. That's fair.
Connections. Who's to say?
Jim Jones was born July 30th, 1973. He is 6'6", 238 pounds, and has a record for previous charges and convictions for felony level assaults, which I didn't know was a thing, but that sounds horrifying. Domestic violence and drugs and more. And on June 4th, 2020, he was arrested by California Highway Patrol in a car that was registered to another man. It looked like he tried to flee when the cop put his lights on. So when they did catch him, he was charged with at least three felonies, those being reckless driving while evading a police officer, theft of a vehicle, an automatic second strike felony as a result of his previous record. He was also charged with lesser offenses of driving while under suspension, a DUI for being under the influence of drugs, methamphetamine possessions, and an animal abuse charge, which I'm not sure what the circumstance was for that.
We probably don't need to know.
No, I don't really want to know. So.
I did notice that he was alive during Jonestown.
He was five.
Still alive.
He was scheduled to appear, but for like his arraignment and everything, but he was a no-show. So then the
They let him
judge,
out on bail?
apparently. And then they gave him another chance to come in, and he failed to appear again. And then he was arrested and thrown into prison for his trial. October 13th, 2020, he agreed to a plea bargain with the state under the agreement that he pled guilty to the three felonies. The remaining charges appeared to be have been dismissed as part of his deal.
Maybe COVID was the reason why he was let out on bail.
Maybe.
Because it started in like
March
May
of 2020.
2020,
Yeah.
March 2020.
He
And
remained in jail after until his sentencing trial on February 26, 2021. He was sentenced to 4 years plus 8 months, and with some bullshit that he already served a certain amount of days, and then he was with good behavior and everything. He got out September 18, 2022.
I think he probably was rehabilitated and won't offend again.
Absolutely. Yeah. After since Danielle and Sheila's cases were so close together and closely linked, the families actually have banded together and have helped memorialize the women and find justice. Well,
That's
hopefully find
good.
justice. Last slide, please. They share a memorial Facebook page, and Danielle's childhood friend, Kristen, actually started a blog and a podcast of true crime stories called Murder She Told. Her first case was actually Danielle's. And that is the Hambolt Five.
So, sorry. So, is the theory that they're all connected?
I think the theory is, I don't think that they're connected. I doubt it. I think the reason that they were kind of grouped together was because they're very close together, and it was something about like bringing awareness to all of them to help find the killer or the killers. I think that Danielle and Sheila, because they were killed so closely together, and also they both have blonde hair and blue eyes and are kind of about the same like height and weight ratio. I think that they were probably killed by James Jones or whatever.
What? Why?
I know, it's nuts.
All
It's not like he was involved
he
with
did
both.
was pick up some girl who needed a ride days after his girlfriend went missing.
I'm sure he was a loving boyfriend too.
Yes.
Which
They
has punches.
argued, but like
She was clumsy, you know.
I think Karen Mitchell was a victim of who is it, Robert Durst?
Yeah, that drawing was
Very
like
accurate.
the police sketches I feel like are rarely close to who the person ends up being, if they ever find them at all. That one was like eerily similar.
Yeah,
Yeah.
plus that guy definitely killed his wife, so.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot he had like killed other people. So it makes it easier to believe that he would kill this person.
I think Christine Walters' story, the like hallucinogenic drug and everything, is the creepiest.
I feel like the drug messed with the chemistry of her brain, and she was like really freaking out. And I wonder if like she like ran into the woods and died accidentally.
I feel like it made her vulnerable to making poor choices. Or to being attacked by somebody because she was not in her right frame of mind.
No, I'm not convinced that she was murdered by somebody.
No. Yeah, well, that's what I figured. It's one of those. One, like you said, she just ran off somewhere, not thinking clearly, and died. Or.
Because she'd already run, what, 20 miles? What was it?
Yeah, she, I mean, she made it
That's
20 miles
ridiculous.
from the.
It's crazy far.
Absurd. Almost
So
like a
if she had
marathon.
done something similar and just didn't
Yeah.
make it.
But yeah. And then I really don't know what happened to Jennifer.
She was the one who left the note saying she was going to the farm and then just disappeared, right?
That feels like a
She.
hitchhiker type of situation.
Yeah.
Well, California I was gonna say California was crazy in the 70s, but this isn't from the 70s. No.
90s on up.
California's crazy. Oh.
This area especially, I'd never heard of it. And I was like, what the fuck is the Emerald Triangle? I was like, oh, that sounds like so much fun.
So I realized halfway through this episode that it's like the Bermuda Triangle or like the Birmingham Triangle. I think that's what it's called, Birmingham Triangle, where it's like people keep going missing. But usually in those instances, it's a triangle.
Somebody really wanted to connect this area with something as mysterious as the Bermuda
But they could
Triangle.
have made it a triangle.
They can't because of the county. The counties. Drew's
Then
not
they
convinced.
stupid.
Google Emerald Triangle counties. It's
I'm just
like an
gonna
upside
do.
down triangle.
That doesn't sound. Go back to that first slide. I need to look at this
Well, that's
man
because it's
again.
all together. I'm putting it in the chat.
Oh, it's a triangle because it's made up of three counties.
Yeah.
Mean, to be fair, we say like the tri-state area. But that's not the same. We're just saying we're talking
No.
about these three states. We're not saying they're in a triangle.
Thank you, Lacey, for correcting yourself, because
You're
I was about to
welcome.
attack you.
I was trying to think of like a similar thing, but that's not.
This is cute. I'm
I
gonna
like
look
that
up.
first image.
Look, there's the Bermuda Triangle. It's weirdly shaped like a triangle.
If you're listening and not watching, Drew just
I
typed
didn't name
mysterious
the fucking
triangle
thing.
into Google. Should we vamp?
I don't
Drew's
know what
currently
I'm.
searching up other mysterious triangles.
Well, yeah, like. Why is it? It's called the Bermuda Triangle, but that's only one part of it. That gives Bermuda like a bad name.
Otherwise, the name would be too long if you had to include all three points in it.
The Bermuda, Miami, and Puerto Rico Triangle.
Well, yeah, you could
Wow.
also just call it like the Caribbean Triangle.
I don't
Or Bermuda.
know. Bermuda's the tiniest of those island or those places, so it can take the rap. What? Go back to the image.
No, I don't doubt that you're wrong. Right, like I believe you that it's the smallest, but why does that mean that it should be to blame?
Because the other ones are bigger and
And
stronger.
they'll fight it if it tries to blame them.
Darwin's Law, natural selection. I gotcha. Okay.
Well, that was sinister.
And we were sarcastic.
Remotely. And we hope you keep listening.
Remotely.
Yeah, like a little bit. We couldn't be super sarcastic. It was sad.
We made it work.